My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Kyle.
Hey, James. We're locked in till noon on ESPN 1320. What are we doing here? Why isn't this turning down?
You're good. Let's run with this thing.
Huh. That's very odd that didn't turn down.
Okay.
All right. I got to go talk to Jonathan about that. good morning. Hello, James. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I guess we got feedback in the chat.
Oh, yeah, no, that's my fault.
All of these things are, like, we're working through
these
things.
So much is happening right now.
This is the first week we've been in studio together for the first full week.
Mm-hmm. And my responsibilities at the other station that I work at have driven me to be in here much later than I would normally like.
Yeah.
Which gets the show off on a weird foot. But anyways, we're locked in now.
We are.
We'll talk. The Kings got a little bit of help in the standings last night. They got some help from the Cavaliers. We'll talk about that. They did not get some help from the Knicks, who got smoked by the Pelicans. We will talk about that. The Warriors beat the Wizards. Golden State is very much in the rear view, but close enough that you got to kind of keep half an eye on it. My takeaway from that game, though, was the Wizards. We'll talk about that. And then, of course, we'll have a look ahead to Kings Nuggets as the Kings going for the season sweep of the defending champs.
Oh. Sweep. So we're going, your brooms.
We got a ton of stuff to dive into, but first, I got cats when I lived in Arizona.
That sounds like you got some sort of disease. Just so you know, I got cats. Like, I'm sorry you have cats. That's horrible. Like,
talk to your doctor.
Do you put a cream on that? Cats. Like, I'm not sure how you deal with I've got cats.
So I part of the reason I got cats, so I wanted to get a dog. Okay.
Okay.
I like both. I'm not one of those people that's staunchly one way or the other. I like both cats and dogs.
We are pro dog. We have three.
Sure.
We have, of course, a big golden. We've got a little fat pug, and we've got a corgi that's a nightmare.
I am also pro dog. I like dogs very much.
Okay.
But I lived in Arizona. I was gone a lot, either traveling home or just out and about, you know, living my life. I was 24, 25 years old. And I lived in a small apartment.
The chatty house is loving that there's cat chat.
Yeah,
so go for it.
Hey, I just found out why that thing was not turning down in my headphones. We're good.
Oh.
This is just a mess. Okay, so I lived in a 700 square foot apartment. And if you're just tuning in, there'll be sports talk, I swear to God. But I lived in this 700 square foot apartment.
Okay.
And I was gone a lot. And I'm like, dude, a dog would be miserable. Because I didn't want like a small dog. I wanted a dog. Like a lab kind of dog. And I was like, a dog would be miserable here. I don't have a lot of, like, I'm gone. And then I'd have to have people watching it or I have to take it with me. And I just don't want to do that to a pup.
Uh-huh.
Cats, though, you can leave cats for a week. And they're like happy that you're gone, kind of thing, right?
Yep.
So I've had cats before, and so I go and I long story short, adopt two cats. They're brothers. And part of the reason, a small piece of this, was like when a dog passes away, it is a like life-altering event.
Oh, it's horrible.
John Stewart in The Daily Show, his dog recently passed. And this is kind of what made me think about this. And he did a segment about it on his show a couple nights ago. And it's just heart-wrenching.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Dipper. And part of the reason I got cats is like, well, you don't get, like, you love your cats, but you don't get as attached to a cat as you do to a dog.
Okay.
You know, cats are just, they'll hide under the bed. They're not as social. They're around. Just kind of,
they're not seeking attention.
Yeah, right.
Dogs
do. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. They're not greeting you at the front door. So I don't deal with loss particularly well. So I was like, okay. When down the road, whenever this happens, it'll suck, but it'll be a little bit easier to take it. I wound up with the two most dog-like cats of all time.
Okay.
I go to leave every morning. My fat cat, whether he's sleeping on the bed or is off the bed, he will jump up and he will meow at me until he gets pets. And he flops over, he gets his belly rubs, he plays a little bit, he loves it. My other cat yesterday, my smaller cat, the baby cat is what we call him, when I got home, He runs down the stairs every day to greet me. And yesterday he's got his paws up on my legs. He wants to pick him up. And then when I pick him up, he just like flops over like a baby. And I love my cats so much that I hate them for it.
Oh, no.
Like when I lose one of them, and you know, at some point, both of them, I'm going to be distraught. Oh. I'm going to be devastated. I'm going to take a day off. Like it's going to be tough for your boy. And yeah. I just really that,
having pets is tough. Having pets is tough.
Yeah, like it's just that the grief of losing a pet is really hard, and I just can't help because I typically don't consider that. Like I don't really care about that. And then the John Stewart thing yesterday, and then my cat this morning flopping over, like playing and licking my hand and doing the whole thing. I'm like, you're like a dog. This is not what I wanted. Ugh.
We had a corgi for 16 years.
Oh my God.
He was our baby before we had kids.
Oh my God.
And then he wouldn't go. And he didn't like the boys. He would hide under the bed.
He got jealous.
At a certain point, he was blind and he couldn't hear. And so you never knew where he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We sent people over to like take him out one time and they couldn't find him for like 45 minutes. And he was under the bed sleeping. He just couldn't hear him.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. That was tough.
Shout out to everybody's pets. I love your pets and I love my pets very much. And I was just thinking this morning, I was like, you know, why couldn't you just sleep under the bed like a normal cat and come out every once in a while when you want food and maybe sometimes sit with us where it's like, oh, they're sitting with us. No, every night on the couch, one cat in a lap, one cat next to me. That's how they are. Most dog-like cats of all time.
Wild.
Shout out to Kat and Stefan. Love them very much. All right.
Your cat's name is Kat?
Well, it's Katrick Willis.
Oh.
Because Patrick Willis retired the week or two before I got them.
Mm.
Yeah. And the other one's Stephen Purry. Yeah. It's just, Kyle. They were like, when I adopted them, their names were Buddha and Shay.
Oh.
They belonged to this woman who passed away and her son just dropped the cats off at the adoption place and was like, yeah, I don't want these cats. And they were Buddha and Shay. And the lady goes, you're not going to change your names, are they? Are you? I had decided on the way there. Me and my buddy Randy were like, hey, we got to sports name these cats. And so we picked out names on the way there. And the lady's like, you're not going to change their names, are you? And I was like, no, of course not. Why would I ever?
Of course not.
Like, yes, I am. You're Patrick now. The worst part is that sounds like a great idea. Like giving your cat sports names or your pet a sports name. I think it works better for dogs.
Yeah.
Like a dog named after an athlete makes way more sense than a cat named after
totally.
An athlete. Like that just, it fits better, right? But it sounds like a great idea until you call the vet and you're trying to be an adult human in his 30s. And they're like, okay, and what's, what? I'm like, hey, cats are due for a checkup. I'm going to bring them in. Okay, and what are their names? Cat, just cat. Nothing else, just cat. And just man.
Oh.
Anyways.
That's hilarious.
Shout out pets with, if you have pets with a sports name, hit us up. In the YouTube chat, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. That is ESPN 1320 TV. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. And we're hanging out with you till noon on Sacramento Sports Leader. The Sacramento Kings got a little bit of help last night in the standings. Well, they didn't get help at first because the Pelicans went into New York and the Kings, presently chasing the Pelicans, but that could swing really with any one game. Currently chasing the Pelicans, did not get any help from the Knicks. New Orleans throttled a banged up New York team on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, the Knicks were on the second night.
Yeah, beat them by 23, 115-92. And then you had a really good game in Cleveland. Dallas, Cleveland. Dallas down one, gets a PJ Washington dunk with 2.6 seconds left off a pretty sick pass from Luka. And you're thinking, whoop. There goes the Kings' chances to gain any ground. The Warriors have already won, so they're not going to gain any separation from them. The Pelicans have already won, not going to gain any ground on them. And now the Mavs are going to win, so the Kings are going to wind up, you know, in the eighth seed.
Wake up in the morning, and they'll be in the eighth.
Just brutal, right? But then Max Strus had other ideas.
Leave it inbound, just to the left of the Cavs bench.
All we need is a deflection.
Pass deflected by Mobley, but grabbed by Doncic. Doncic bounced underneath the PJ, and he laid it in with 2.6 to go. Cavs out of timeout. Strus into Mobley. Back to Max. Half-court shot. Good! Good! He hit it! Cavs win!
Yeah, Max Strus from 60 feet cashes it. Nothing but net. And the Cleveland Cavaliers somehow escape with a 121-119 win over the Dallas Mavericks. The Kings stay half a game above Dallas for the number 7 seed. They're a game back of the Pelicans, who are currently the number 5.
I absolutely love the call.
It's so good.
Because he was yelling, you know, twice. He gives two big punches, and then
he lays out.
Let the crowd tell the story.
Yep.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
We just talked about that yesterday, laying out. Let the crowd take it. Let the action on the court be the thing.
Yeah, I do. You know, like when I listen to baseball, there are some guys that forget that we're not watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
They just think that it's almost like they've done too much TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like there is a particular A's announcer that never seems to remember that he's trying to tell a story. That we're not watching what he is, and it gets really frustrating. Like, hey man, we need to know if where that ball went.
Right.
Like, was it a foul ball or was it fair?
Right. Right.
And it takes way too long. But that to me was perfect.
Yeah, just an excellent call and an incredible shot by Max Strus that keeps the Kings half a game up on the Mavericks. They are a half game back of the Phoenix Suns, and we will continue scoreboard watching as the rest of the season plays out. Because what the Kings don't necessarily control their own destiny here. I guess theoretically they do. If they win out, they'll be in the playoffs. But
yeah.
they're at some point going to need some help. And so we will continue tracking that throughout the year. That's why the Max Strus buzzer beater is why sports are the best thing.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, like the opportunity for a win like that, you know, and I've got to see so many, you know, good and bad. But
sure.
It feels like for me, more often than not, during my time covering the Kings, even though they're not very good, they were not very good most of the time, they had more buzzer beaters than were hit against them.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of feels like that. I can think of, there was the Bogdan Bogdanovic one against the Lakers, that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, you had the putback dunk in Miami by De'Aaron Fox.
Yep.
You had De'Aaron Fox over Embiid against Philly. My first year covering the team was the incredible Tyreek Evans.
Memphis.
Against Memphis. Yeah. And that was incredible.
That
and
was like three-quarter court. That was deep.
They had us, at Arco, my first year, I was up in a box,
mm-hmm.
and the ball came right at us. And I remember me and Zach Harper were watching it, and both of us start leaning like, oh, that's got a shot, because it was curving.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's got a shot, and boom. Whole entire place lights up. Tyreek jumps up on the scoreboard. Dante Green is walking out on the court as it leaves his hand like, oh, that's in.
Yeah.
Like the whole entire scene is crazy. Tyreek almost knocked the scorer's table over. Jason Jones is holding his legs so he doesn't fall because the table's shaking and Tyreek is up on the scorer's table. Like, oh, it was nuts. Yeah, that was a good one.
Just bedlam. Yeah, you see a team hit a layup with 2.6 seconds left. To take the lead, other team doesn't have any timeouts. You're like, oh, that's ball game.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to try and heave a pass. They're going to get knocked down. This game's over. And then, nope. Look at that.
Yeah.
Cavs going to win. Helps the Kings. The Kings can help themselves tonight. They are in Denver to take on the Denver Nuggets. Can they get a season sweep of the defending champs? We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Clear.
There's also Scalabissier, three-pointer for a win. Scal hit it.
Who's that against?
Scal?
Yeah.
I think it was against the Knicks.
Mm.
James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We just listed off like 10 recent, in the last decade or so, game winners by the Kings.
Oh, yeah. Readers. You know, one of my favorite, and I know this is kind of strange, but the Chimezie Metu corner three, there was no time. So De'Aaron Fox drove to the hoop, fired a ball on a line to Chimezie Metu, who caught it and released it in one corner. Motion.
Yeah.
But for me, that was one of the moments where Fox showed leadership in a different way.
Yeah.
Where he put faith in somebody. That, like, I don't think anyone else in the gym would have said, hey, throw it to that guy in the corner who's wide Messi. Open. Like, everyone's like, what are you doing? Oh, yes. But absolutely spectacular.
All right, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The Sacramento Kings looking for the season sweep of the Denver Nuggets tonight in Denver. Tip-off for that one set for 6:00. De'Aaron Fox officially questionable after he and Jaime Jaquez knocked knees on, what night was that? What day is it? Monday night?
That was Monday night.
Monday night. Yeah, Monday night. Yesterday was Tuesday and the Kings did not play.
Okay.
The Kings play tonight.
Tonight. Against?
The Denver Nuggets.
In?
Denver.
Denver.
Got it.
We got it.
Ball Arena.
Ball Arena.
Yeah.
That's right. It was a Pepsi Center forever.
So let's real quick, because that's kind of a big deal. If De'Aaron Fox were to not play, is it Davion Mitchell? Is it Keon Ellis? I can't imagine Malik Monk would enter the starting lineup.
That's a really good question, because I'm going to say it's Davion, because Keon has been out of the rotation.
Yeah.
But maybe Mike Brown goes a different way and goes Keon Ellis. I don't know. I mean, you're looking at a team that has a lot of, like, bigger guards, like big, strong guards. Although I do think Davion would be fine against Jamal Murray. So yeah. I think it's a good question, because every time the Kings have played Denver this year, Denver has missed somebody. Like, somebody hasn't played, whether it's Michael Porter or whether it's Jamal Murray or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. One of their starters has been out every single game, and that does not look like it's the case this time.
Yeah.
But I want to see what Mike Brown does, because the current trend is for him to go with Davion Mitchell. Davion's been playing a lot more lately, and I'm going to guess that that's where he would go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would assume so, too, especially against the Nuggets team where, although, Keon Ellis's length might matter on the perimeter.
Well, you could go Chris Duarte, and go, like, two bigger guards.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think that that'd be interesting, too. But I'm going to guess that Mike would start with Davion, and whether he plays 30 minutes or whether he plays 18 minutes will be dictated by probably more how Malik Monk plays than anything else.
The Kings 3-0, and I want to talk about Malik Monk in a bit, but you mentioned it. The Kings are 3-0 against Denver this season, but Denver was on a back-to-back twice, and then the game where the Kings were on the back-to-back, the Nuggets sat Jamal Murray and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Almost for no reason, because it was the day before the...
Yeah, it's just like an extra
All-Star
rest.
Break.
Yeah, very yeah. odd. I mean, they got to keep Jamal Murray healthy. That's priority probably number one for Denver.
Yeah, I would agree.
I want to talk about Jamal Murray specifically coming up in a bit, but you mentioned Malik Monk just now, and not in the space of him starting. He's going to be the sixth man, but he is struggling bad. And the fact that the Kings have still managed to play well despite Monk struggling, particularly from beyond the arc,
yeah,
is, I think, overall a good thing. But if the Kings are going to make some kind of push and some kind of run this year, Monk has to be better than he's been.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, every season Monk has had sort of this downturn, and we saw it in late January, where, you know, he went through a stretch where he was really scuffling. And right now, I mean, I'm going to say he's struggling, but, you know, over his last four games, he's still averaging, I don't know what, 14, 15 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
He's down to 12 over his last four games. But the problem that you have is he's shooting 38.3% from the field and 16.7% from three. The three-point issue has become, like, pretty substantial, and it's been a long-term issue. It's not like some short-lived thing where he's struggling from three. So he's got to figure it out. I think this is, again, like a mid-season swoon where somebody's lost his legs a little bit. But over his last 13 games, he's shooting 29.9% from three, and he's got to get better. He's got to figure it out, and especially in a game like this where if Fox doesn't play, you need Monk to be so dynamic and take over for long stretches and really get this thing rolling.
Yeah. I like when Monk gets downhill. In fact, I think that's probably the best version of him and the best version of the Kings offense when he's on the floor. But at the same time, you can't just be a non-factor from beyond the arc. That's not going to do it.
Yeah.
What'd you say? 20, you have 13% over the last five?
Yeah.
Oof.
No, it's bad.
Yeah.
I'd say the one good thing about Malik, though, is that when the shot isn't falling, I mean, he's 3 of 18. So, but 18 shots over, I mean, that means he's averaging like 4.5 threes a game. He understands his 3-point shot isn't going in, and so he pulls back. There are some guys who are like, oh, I don't care.
And I want to make it clear, it's not that he overall is playing poorly.
Yeah.
Like, he had the other night against Miami, he didn't play well. He didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. But before that, he had 12 points, 5 assists against the Clippers. He had 21-2 with a couple of steals against San Antonio. He had 22-6 in that loss to Phoenix. Like, he's still producing, just not from three. But
the
best version of him is where he's cashing from three. The good news with Malik is of all the players on the Kings roster, he is the one I am worried about the least in terms of his confidence.
Oh no, he's gonna be
fine.
Yeah, he'll be absolutely fine. He knows that. Yeah, but he's when you talk to him, he definitely like feels it. Like, he knows when he's struggling. He's not a player who's like, oh no, I'm fine. I'll just shoot right at me. Like, no, I'm struggling. I got it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll figure it out. I'll get back to who I was, and we'll be all right.
Yeah.
So he is a self-aware player, which is refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, don't want him out there like, nah, shoot or shoot.
Well, that's true, but come on, man. Cover Buddy Hield for like 6 years.
Buddy can shoot it, though.
Like the 1 of 13, 3-point shoot. That's what you're talking about. Well, there's no self-awareness. Like, yeah, like the laws of averages aren't going to catch up tonight, buddy.
Yeah, they're not tonight. Yeah,
they're not.
Tomorrow you might go 5 of 7. Tonight you're 1 for 10.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to finish 5 for 14.
No. Yeah, he's not going to catch fire and like all of a sudden you're like, hey, look, there he is. Yeah. No.
All right. I do want to talk about Jamal Murray, which we can do coming up. And then we've also got some keys to a Kings victory, of course, coming up for you as well. That's James. I'm Kyle. We got more Kings coming up on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Could have been worse. Could have been way worse.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's fine. We're fine.
We're good. Let's do it, Kyle.
My mental clock is a tick or two off today.
It happens on occasion. Yeah. I mean, there are mornings where you get up and... like, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, you get all your stuff done, you look at the clock, and you have, like, 20 minutes before you really need to leave. And then there's those other days where you think that everything's moving really smoothly. You look at the clock, and you're like, oh, no, it's 8:15. I should have left 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, and I'm not ready at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's...
life is weird, Kyle.
Get ready like normal. Get out of bed at a normal time. Getting ready like you think normal. You go down, and you're like, yeah, all right, I got time to make some coffee, and you turn around, and you're got to go 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Man,
not good.
Not a lot of worse ways to spend the day, because then you're just rushed from the top.
I totally agree. I do take my 16-year-old to high school on most mornings now, and there are days where, like, I go, I make sure he's awake, and when I go to wake him up and make sure he's awake, his alarm on his phone sounds like a foghorn, like blaring, and it's right next to his face, and he's just sleeping.
He's
right
16?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I had the same problem.
So I like wake him up, like, hey, up. And then he's like, yeah, I'm awake. And I get to the point now where it's like, no, I need to see you standing.
Feet on the floor, yeah.
Standing. You will be standing, but because last week I did the same exact thing. I came, I went in, I got ready for work, got dressed, came out. It's like 8:10, 8:12. We're supposed to leave. He's got to be at high school. He's still sleeping. Like,
oh my God.
And then I got to battle him. I got to battle him for changing clothes. I got to battle him for brushing his hair. I got to battle him for brushing his teeth. Then he ends up being a minute late to his first class, and his mom's got to call and make some excuse. Sorry.
Man.
Yeah. So
because now you got, now
and
you
then
got,
I'm rushed.
Right. Now you got somebody too. You got a teenager who is tired, who is now rushed because they've gotten, they've woken up late now there. And so they're going to be angsty on top of that. Oof. I don't begrudge that one bit.
His hair's all matted, and I'm like, dude,
I have
fix
the same
your
problem
hair.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Want to remind everybody, the Purple and Black pregame show, that's with James Hammond, myself, is tonight at 5:30. That'll be just ahead of the Kings 6:07 tip in Denver. And then tomorrow on ESPN 1320 at 6:30 p.m., Miami at Denver will have that game for you on these airwaves. The Heat against the Nuggets, a finals rematch. We are your home for NBA basketball, the play-ins, playoffs, and the finals.
Ooh.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with Jamal Murray.
Yeah, it's intriguing, right?
He is a fascinating player because when I think of the top point guards in the NBA, it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's De'Aaron Fox. Trae Young comes to mind. Damian Lillard comes to mind. Steph Curry.
Tyrese Halliburton,
of course. Luka, if you count him as a point guard, I think he's technically a point guard.
Yeah.
But with Kyrie there, Kyrie's a point guard. But okay, throw one of the two Dallas guys in there.
Yep.
Jalen Brunson is way up there. There are so many. And I don't, for some reason, I never think of Jamal Murray in that tier of player. But I think he probably belongs there, but then you go look and he's not, it's not like he averages 30 a game. It's not like he's this spectacular defender he's a really, really good player who happens to play really, really well off of Nikola Jokic.
No, I totally agree. I'm confused by where you would put him as well, because he's good enough that he should be much higher. His statistical, like, productivity should be much higher than it is.
Yeah, he's 21-4-6.
Yeah, he misses a lot of games, you know, after having knee surgery and having, like, a catastrophic knee injury. You know, he's a guy that's part of the problem. He did play 65 games last year, which is pretty good for a guy who had missed the entire season before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where to put him. And I think we have a really high opinion of him because he's so good in the playoffs. Like,
yes, that's definitely it.
Over the last couple of years, he's been really, really good in the playoffs. But outside of that, I just think he's top 15 probably.
At his position?
At his position.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely at his position. But
well, you say that, but you just named off how many point guards?
Well, but it's like I said, Trae Young. I'm taking him over Trae Young for sure.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Trae Young he historically is a walking double double. And he's a guy who made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, yeah. It's not like he's never won. You're not taking him over Kyrie. You're not taking him. I mean, if Ja Morant is healthy and right,
Ja's another one.
You're taking Ja over him. Jalen Brunson, you're taking over him. De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, Steph Curry.
Over his last three seasons, this is where, like, the whole player rankings thing gets interesting.
Yeah,
because you talk about Trae Young being a walking double double, and he is. Like, Trae Young is a playmaker, is just outrageous, right? But then you get a guy like Jamal Murray, who in his last three regular seasons, so he missed all of 21-22 and then almost half of 2021 because of that ACL tear. In those 3 years that he's played, he's averaging 20.5 points with 4 boards and 5.8 assists, so call it 6, shoots 46.6% from the field and 40% from 3. His last two playoff runs, he goes to 26 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. He shoots 48.8% from the field and 42.3% from 3. on volume. It's not like he averages 20 field goal attempts a game. And that's where I want that. Like, I want that player who's going to level up like that in the postseason. But the larger sample size, the 82 game sample size, says that, yeah, no, he's in the top 12 to 15.
Yeah, range. I mean, I think that that's where, like, if you put everybody who we believe is a top tier point guard,
yeah,
that's where he'd kind of fall. Like, do we give Devin Booker a point guard nod? Because I think he's the point guard for the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, yeah, you have to, I guess.
You know, and like, we're not going to say, hey, you know, Tyus Jones is above Jamal Murray. I'm not saying something crazy like that, but like, he's not, I don't even know if he reaches like fringe all-star player.
So this is what, right, like because of his numbers. But then you watch him and you're like, wow, that's a really good player.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt the same about Mike Conley. Like, you watch him and you're like, hey, that's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost have a higher opinion of Mike Conley, like, in his heyday than I do of Jamal Murray.
Really?
I think, like, defensively, he was better. Like, like the impact that he had on the court, sure. Did you even mention Damian Lillard?
Yeah,
like,
I did. Yeah,
like, there's a lot of guys here.
So I just pulled up. They were accessible. I don't think this is the be-all and end-all. I'm just using this as an example. The Ringer's top 100 NBA ranking.
Yep.
They have Jamal Murray 19th.
Overall? At point guard? At point guard?
Overall, of all the players in the sport, Jamal Murray is the 19th best player.
No.
He is one behind De'Aaron Fox. He's sandwiched between De'Aaron Fox and Damian Lillard.
That's crazy.
He's also ahead of, he's 19. Here's the rest of the top 25, starting at 20. Dame, Paul George, Bam, Sabonis, Trae Young, James Harden.
But that's like severe recency bias. And what I mean by that is that they watched him in the playoffs and then jacked his rating way up because of what they saw in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's literally, there's like, you can do deep dives in this. It's kind of a like cool setup how they have it. They have their NFL draft guide the same way. But it says, cold-blooded champion who knows how to meet the moment.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. Like, I know what it means, obviously. And it's the same, but I feel the same way about Jimmy Butler, I think. I always leave Jimmy Butler out of the superstar conversation. Like, I just think he's kind of a tier or two below that superstar. But then you go watch him in the playoffs, and you're like, man, I don't know how many guys I would rather have in a 7-game series than Jimmy Butler.
No, that's true.
And I guess where the whole rankings thing gets interesting, because if you're taking guys in the for what they do in the postseason, what they have or have not done in the postseason, then I guess. Fine, but
that's tough. I put Jamal Murray really in the same category as, like, I think he's probably a little bit better, but I don't know if it's much.
Mm-hmm.
CJ McCollum. Like, that's kind of where he's at. Like, the fact that he's done it in the playoffs, like, okay. I mean, CJ.
I wonder how I would view CJ McCollum if he had played for like Golden State.
Okay,
where he's and I just or the Rockets or no, not the Rockets. He would have made the Rockets better. Was the point I was trying to get at? If he had been on a championship team.
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, he's a guy who took his team to the Western Conference Finals. He was
Dame did that.
Well, yeah, but both of them, they were both there scoring and being great together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's funny because you can't separate CJ from Dame and leave Jamal Murray with Nikola Jokic and not separate those guys. You can't say, well, Dame did it. Like, Dame was the reason. Okay, the reason why the Nuggets won a championship is because Nikola Jokic is there.
Right.
So
I'm trying to look up what's McCollum for his career.
19.4.
What is he?
39.7.
Can you give me? Oh, I can do that. Let's so we'll go to his we'll go through his peak 2015-16 to his last full year in Portland. So this is a what, 6 season stretch? Yeah, 6 season stretch. He was 22-4-4 basically on 39.8% from three.
Yeah.
And then in the playoffs over that same stretch, he goes 23-5-3 on 38.3%. So a little better, a little worse. That's an interesting one. McCollum's interesting. And I think that goes to show why Jamal Murray gets rated so highly.
Mm-hmm.
Is because of the situation that he's in. And that's why I don't know what to do with him. I understand he's really good. I don't knock his game really at all. And his numbers, honestly, are probably kind of deflated because so much runs through Jokic in that offense. But man, the Jokic-Murray two-man game is impossible. Like, what do you do with it?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, Bob Myers told us how much they run everything through Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
And Fox averages 27 a game.
They need to go more two-man game. That's a different conversation.
Yeah, but that is a different conversation. They do. We need to see more two-man game. Yeah. I think you're right. I think it's just an interesting discussion because, like, we took on the...
Hey, confirmed real quick, Jamal Murray's going for, like, 40 tonight.
Yeah, because we talked about it. Yeah, we've talked about the sort of the duos, though, right? We did. We broke down, like, who you would take, this guy or this two or these two, and where Fox and Sabonis ranked in that. Like, I don't know about you, but like Jokic is an MVP, but I would still like as a tandem.
I'm taking Jokic and Murray.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, I mean, they've got a ring.
Yeah.
But they also have the right pieces around them.
Yeah. Denver's just freaking good, dude. I think they're going to win the finals again.
I'm going to, like, if we were guessing today, I'm going to say it won't be Denver. It'll be Boston. But
Boston's good as heck, too.
Yeah, Boston's really, really good.
Do they have somebody who can dribble? Let me know, Jesse. Is Jesse in here yet?
I don't know.
He's not in here yet.
Dang. I don't think so.
He's usually in the stream by now. Yeah, I wanted to compare Jamal Murray to Brock Purdy at first.
Oh.
Where it's like, yeah, that's a good player, but how much better is he because of his situation? But the difference is the equivalent to Brock Purdy for Jamal Murray would be like leading the league in assists and being way up there in scoring and being way up there in all the percentages, because that's the whole thing with Purdy. It's like, how good is he versus the numbers? Whereas Murray, it's kind of the opposite. It's like, he's probably a little bit better than his numbers.
Huh.
Wow. A good player, though.
Yeah, he is a good player. I'm not trying to take that away from him. I'm just saying I don't think he's elite. And that's where, like, some of these other players we're talking about. The fact that the Ringer had him in the top 20 is, to me, crazy.
Hmm.
Like, he's not an all NBA player. And that's the top 15, but he's not. He's not an all NBA player.
No. Has he been to an all star game?
No.
That's kind of nuts.
Well, I don't know that it's nuts. I mean, like, his when you think of that team, you think of Jokic, and then you don't think of like who their next best player is. You can say it's Murray, but you're saying it's Murray because of the playoffs. Given night,
right? But the argument there is that's what matters. Is okay, you're good during the regular season, but if you become great during the playoffs,
okay. I mean, if that's the argument you want to make, I mean, like, you have to get to the playoffs, and the reason they get to the playoffs is because of Jokic.
Sure.
So,
have this guy who levels up his game in such a way that it forces people to look. If he went into the playoffs and averaged what he does, whatever, 24-6 or whatever, 20 points, 4 boards and 6, and he was just kind of the same player in the postseason, I don't think this discussion wouldn't be happening.
No, he's not.
But it's
top
so hard
60.
To separate those two things, right?
Yeah. I mean, realistically, that's you wouldn't have him as top 60. So I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I do know that 19th is crazy.
That's crazy. to put him over Damian Lillard?
I'm just gonna pick the guards that he's above. This is just guards. Dame, Trae Young, James Harden, Jaylen Brown, Tyrese Maxey, Ja Morant, Kyrie, Derek White.
Well, no, I think you can put him above Derek White.
Yeah, I think that's probably where we land.
But Jaylen Brown.
And I like Derek White very much.
I mean, they're not the same position, but like the way I kind of think of it is, what if you put any of those players alongside Jokic if you just swapped them out?
Yeah, Luka find Steph, yeah, Shea, yeah, Devin Booker, Halliburton, Donovan Mitchell?
Yes.
Yes, Jalen Brunson. Yes,
Donovan Mitchell. He's not in the same category as Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is a way better player.
Mitchell's a ridiculous player.
Yeah,
Jalen Brunson. Yeah, De'Aaron. Yes, Dame.
Yeah,
probably better.
Yeah,
Trae Young is an interesting one.
Well, I mean, because Trae is just numbers,
right? And how much can he operate in a system where Jokic is doing as much as he does? That's a question mark for me.
Yeah,
James Harden.
Well, I mean, James Harden before this year, last year, sure.
Yeah.
But now I would take Murray over Harden.
Yeah.
I just don't think that Harden still has his fastball.
How high did De'Aaron Fox get in these rankings this year? You can check the full timeline.
Huh.
He got as high as 15th.
Okay.
That was in early December. He started out at 17. Oh, he was 17 last year, started at 17 this year, climbed as high as 15. And now he's dropped to 18.
I would say, like, league-wide, like, you have to look at, like, All-NBA mm-hmm. for what it is. All-NBA is the best of the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox was 11th in voting.
Yeah.
And Sabonis was 12th.
Yeah.
And so when people hear me say that, well, these are two top 15 players, mm-hmm. and they say, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy.
Yeah,
they both made all-third team All-NBA. They mm-hmm. both made... I mean, that means you're in the top 15 players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's reasons why one player wouldn't make it or another wouldn't, all that stuff, you know, whether injury, and now we have, like, the restrictions on how many games played and all that, but either way.
Sabonis, just while we're here, and this is something we were talking a little bit about last night, Sabonis finished last year at 20th in these same rankings. And again, not that these are the end-all, be-all, but just using it as a jumping-off point. Started this season in October at 24, then up to 21 in December, and has since gone down to 22 and then 23.
Right now?
Yes.
This season.
Right now. These were updated February 14th. 2 weeks ago.
Does our guy, what is it, Stephen?
Is Stephen Ruiz?
Is Stephen Ruiz do these?
No. So this is, and we were talking about this last night. I think I decided it's because... Jokic is the only real comp to Sabonis.
Yes.
And people don't know what to do with it because he doesn't play above the rim. He doesn't shoot a ton of threes. He doesn't block four shots a game. And so people I'm assuming the people who do these rankings watch basketball, but probably aren't super dialed into Sacramento. They just have this idea and they go, oh, well, he doesn't physically do anything that he doesn't jump super high. He doesn't have a high volume of threes. So really, what does he do in the modern game? I think there's just an inability to see
process.
To see a player's impact beyond.
Okay, so let me ask
modern,
you this.
Quote unquote center.
Where do they have him in December?
21st.
And where do they have him in January?
22nd.
Okay, so in the month of January, Domantas Sabonis, 20.8 points, 14.5 rebounds, and 9 assists per game. Check this out. He shot 66.5% from the field.
Not bad.
And in 15 games in the month of January, he shot 71.4% from three. 71.
Most guys would take that.
Most guys might bump him up from...
Yeah.
And not bump him down.
Yeah, dropped a spot.
He dropped a spot. The month of February, in 11 games in the month of February, 20.6, 14.1 rebounds, 10.5 assists.
Mm-hmm.
He's averaging a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting 63.8% from the field. He's shooting 33.3% from three, which isn't great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get it. Again, like...
I would be fascinated to see if again, just to test my theory, if Sabonis started shooting, I don't know, how many does Kat take a game? How many does Karl Anthony Towns take per game from three?
Like nine.
Is it that? Oh my God. Is it that many?
Maybe eight.
Oh my God. So many threes. No, he's 5.3 attempts a game.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. If Sabonis, although there are games where he shoots eight or nine for sure. If Sabonis started shooting five threes a game and hit 37% of them.
Well, he'd average 25 a game.
Yeah.
Maybe 26. Yeah. But that's not who the Kings are, and it's not what their offense is.
Right.
It's not
totally. And that's that, but that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Is it's really hard. It is. It's very hard to cover an entire league and know what every single play. But at the same time, wouldn't you then just revert to the numbers and go, man, this guy's averaging a triple double on a good team. This guy's leading the league in rebounding.
It's really, he's
leading the league in triple doubles.
And double doubles. He's at 40 straight double doubles.
What an odd thing.
He's at 50, what the Kings have played. He's at 53 double doubles out of 57 games.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it 58 games at this point? Whatever it is, he's got four games where he didn't have a double double.
It's just overthinking. It's If Domantas Sabonis was doing this, exactly what he's doing this year, exact same thing, no different. Everything is exactly the same, but doing this in 2005.
Yeah.
We're talking about one
the
of the
MVP.
Right. Because that is just what, but now it's.
Yeah, but I've told you this in the past. I had this boss who only spoke in like stupid, like all he had was catchphrases. Like he literally didn't even like really speak like a human, but all he would say is either John Wooden quotes or quotes from like wherever he had a quote book that all he spoke
oh
in was.
Oh my God.
And so he, one of his things which stuck with me is figures don't lie, liars figure. And that's what that is right there. The figures don't lie. This is one of the best players in basketball. Yeah. But liars are out there figuring that there's some other reason why Sabonis is averaging a triple-double. And they're wrong.
Yeah.
He's averaging a triple-double.
Good player.
Because he's a star. I mean, we even talked...
it's hard to be bad, and not that they're saying he's bad. He's still 23rd. It's like they're saying he sucks. But...
but you can't drop a guy in the ratings
when
his numbers go up.
Yeah, I don't.
That's not how it works, Kyle.
Even if he was averaging 20 a game, but he was taking five threes a game and hit him at a decent clip, I guarantee he would be ranked higher.
Okay, so, and here's the question I'm going to ask you before we got to go to break.
Yeah. We got a couple minutes.
What about, where did De'Aaron Fox go from December to January to February?
Oh, good
question. And their rankings.
Started at 17 this year.
Yep.
It was 17th in October. Jumped to 15th in December.
Okay.
Stayed at 15 in January and dropped to 18th in the latest February 14th rankings.
Okay, so let's just put this in perspective, folks. In the month of December, Fox averaged 29 points per game. 29.3. In November, 30. 31 in October. The month of January, when they had him drop, what, one spot?
Fox three spots.
Fox dropped to 22.5 points per game. 7 points per game dropped off his scoring average. All of his numbers across the board plummeted. He shoots 43.4% from the field, 32.6% from three. The 1 month of the year that they've plummeted. He's back up to 26 points a game. He's back up to six assists per game. He's shooting 48.7% from the field. All of those numbers are coming back up. But if you don't have a guy drop when his numbers drop, then what are you basing it off of?
Oh, from December to January, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Like,
I
what
don't
are
know.
You basing?
I don't know.
Kyle.
I don't know.
Kyle, I hate lists.
Doing player rankings is so freaking hard. It's so difficult.
Yeah, but I did power rankings for basketball for years for NBC. And the whole time you're like, okay, what did they look like last week? What did they look like this week? Mm-hmm. Why are they doing
are they
so
trending?
Well now? Why are they not? Yeah. And I'd write like a 3-sentence blurb on each team.
Sure.
And I would move teams up and down in the rankings based on how they did. And I'm not going to have a team drop like eight spots because they go 0-3 in a week when you look at their. Now, if they went 0-3 and it was against Detroit, Washington, and and Portland, yeah, you're plummeting. But outside of that, like, you've got to be reasonable. I don't get it.
I don't either.
It's not science.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to people not knowing how to process the blend of throwback and modern center that Sabonis is. Like, I really think that that's. Like, an elite high post player is just not like a.
But that's your like job.
I didn't say it's right.
No, but I mean that.
I'm trying to find reasons.
No, I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of the Detroit Pistons, no longer the worst team in the NBA.
Oh.
They are tied as the worst team in the NBA with the Washington Wizards.
How many wins do they have?
9.
Are they the best 9-win team in the NBA?
Inside jokes. Inside jokes for whoever was in Mike Brown's presser a while back. Oh, yeah, Washington. Washington and Detroit. Who's the best 9-win team in the NBA? We'll tell you next on ESPN 13. No. We'll talk about, maybe we will talk about that a little bit. And I want to try and put some of this Kings season in perspective because it feels like we're a lot of doom and gloom on this show, particularly me. That's just kind of the type of sports fan I am. But we'll put this into some context. And I do actually want to talk about the Wizards briefly. Coming up next in our second hour on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.